back to another episode of the Gentleman Farmer Podcast. I am your host, Corey. Thanks for joining us from wherever you are in the world. I wanted to come to you and first apologize for kind of a long delay between episodes. We took a little family vacation, which was a nice little getaway for a while. But we're back at it. I'm back committed to getting more episodes pumped out here. So I wanted to give everybody a quick update on our farm, Adams Heritage Farm. Alpacas are doing great. Our chickens are doing wonderful. We had a few more hatch over the last couple weeks, so we're pretty excited to add them to the flock here. The biggest thing we've got going on is we have started with hydroponic and aeroponic produce, and we have had massive success so far. We're still very early in the stages, but we're the first crop cycle that we're pumping out right now looks incredible. We're focusing mainly on all your salad greens, lettuce, spinach, arugula, a couple mixes. We've got some zucchini, cucumber, a couple tomatoes, a couple peppers. Really just trying our hand at a few different things, see what works well, what doesn't work well. And kind of a mixed bag here. But we've already propagated seeds, and we've got stuff going for another crop cycle with just some fresh greens. So could not be more excited about how that's worked out so far, and we'll save that for another episode. However, let's get down to the focus of today. What I really wanted to talk to you about today is something else that our farm is going into. In fact, this is my weekend project. I've done a lot of research on this, and we decided this is something that we wanted to go in a direction of. So we did a couple trial runs, but we haven't truly got into production scale for a business model until now. So I would suggest maybe this is something you want to do the same, is just try this out and then see how it works for you and then go from there. But I am talking about microgreens. So a lot of people ask me, what are microgreens? Is that the fancy little relish I see on my dinner plate occasionally when I go to a really nice restaurant? The answer is yes and no. Microgreens used to be particularly viewed as a very nice garnish to a dish. However, you're seeing a big shift in microgreens becoming just another one of the many superfoods that are used primarily in salads. Any kind of food, you can put microgreens on it. Your mind is going to be the only inhibitor that you have. But when I look at a gentleman farm, with people who typically have somewhere between 2 and 5 acres, you know, you're really limited on the types of livestock you can do. You're limited on types of, you know, row crops are not going to be your thing. And so what can you do in a fairly small footprint that can have good profitability, a good business scale? And a lot of these 2 to 5 acre farms, especially initially, are not going to be full-time projects. You're going to have to find something that you can do part-time on the side hustle to make some type of income and make you a positive financial gain. Microgreens is probably one of the fundamental best things that you can do. And it's for a lot of reasons. So in looking at microgreens, a couple of things to think about whenever you, if this is something you want to look at to add to your business plan or your business model. It's a very low startup cost. I did this for probably $30, took some scrap stuff that I found around the house, put it in the back room in the corner of my office by the window, and gave it a shot, and it worked fantastic. You got maybe, once you get your supplies, $1 to $2. Let's go 2 to 3, just to be a little on the high side. $2 to $3 of costs in each tray that you pump out. And, you know, you can really scale this to what you need. So, you know, looking at just your essential components for shelving, your trays, your misting, your light, your seeds, you can do a really, really nice setup if you scrounge a little bit for under $500. And anything in farming that you can get under $500 and have some type of returnable model of investment is fantastic. It's the other good thing about microgreens is this is a super fast turnaround. Most of the type The popular microgreens that you see, whether it be radishes, sunflowers, a lot of your salad mixes, peas, a number of different things. Those are the four that I really focus on, and the four that we'll be doing more on a business scale. We'll be sampling and trialing a couple other things just to expand as we go, but those are the four we really focus on. Your turnaround, you're looking at 10 to 14 days, maybe 20 days on a couple of these, but typically 2 weeks from the time that you start soaking and germinating your seeds to the time you're harvesting and ready to push them out to your end product and consumer. The other thing is, you're looking at a very small footprint. I use a 2x4 foot shelving rack, has four shelves on it. Like I said, I can stand this in the corner of my shop right next to my aeroponics. Super small footprint. And out of that one rack, I can produce, and again, this is going to depend on your market, what your market will bear. I've heard of people producing upwards of $800 a week on three racks. Some people, you know, $400 to $500. And that's kind of what we're looking for, is doing probably a four rack system and spacing this out over, you know, staggering it to make sure we can meet our demand consistently, and looking for $250 to $400 a week. That's kind of the scale that we're looking at doing. Really, as long as you've got a market, you know, at whatever the market will bear, the scale is going to be limitless. You can do this where you're producing as little as, you know, $25, $30 a week if you're supplying one or two people, or you can do this where you're really pushing the boundaries of your of where you live and do as much as you want to do and how much your time can bear. But you can grow year round. It's indoor growing, so you're not beholden to a specific season. So they're fantastic nutrient. And like I said, this is a superfood. When you look at, take radish microgreens, if you look at the nutritional components, and I'm not going to do a breakdown of, you know, mineral and each essential vitamin, but if you look at down at the look at and break it down, the minerals and the specifics, you've got anywhere between, depending on the freshness, 100, 200, 300% higher nutritional content in the microgreen than you do in the finished plant. And that goes for pretty much all your microgreens across the table. Again, I'm keeping this pretty generic. I'm not getting into specific crops of microgreens. Giving you the 30,000 foot view, that's what we do on this podcast. But your selling point is going to be the nutritional value that you can offer, and you can offer it quickly and at an incredible markup. So you talk about the markup. If you go to a grocery store and you pick a random item off the shelf, you're looking at such a small markup that you have to move incredible volume to be profitable. When doing microgreens, it's quite the opposite. You're looking at a very low input cost, like I said, $2 to $3 per tray. If you get 5 to 6 cuttings off that tray, some of your premium microgreens will go for upwards of $40, $45 a pound. Now, how much you get out of these trays really depends on your growing medium. It's going to depend on how much lighting, making sure you get the lighting at the right time, your seed distribution. So you can't just go in and say, all right, well, each tray is going to profit me $40 and, you know, move on to the next tray. As with anything in farming, there's a lot of variables and a lot of different inputs that are going to augment your final product. However, that being said, I can pretty much promise you, and if you pay any attention to this at all, you will, let's just go with a bare minimum of $10. You've gone from a 2-foot input cost to a $10 output. You've got an $8 margin to work with. Now, you have to make sure you're paying yourself. You have to make sure you're looking at your continuing seed cost. You know, water is pretty much negligible because they don't require a lot of water. This can be done hydroponically. It can be done in a soil-based medium, or you can use another type of media, coconut fiber, rock wool, whatever that may be. we will be doing soil media based microgreens on our farm. It's easier. Plants like it that way. It does kind of go against what we do with all of our aeroponics, where we do soilless media, but you know, we're not really beholden to saying, oh, we do all hydro aeroponic or we do all soil based planting or whatever. We want to do what's best and most profitable for our farm. So that's just kind of how we work on this. So I talked a little bit about the space that you need. Typically, these are done in what we call 10-20 trays. They're 10 inch by 20. It's what you see, a lot of your different greenhouses. Most of your standard large box retailers use these for a lot of their planting stuff. Each one of those is going to produce anywhere between 5 and 6 ounces. And like I said, some of your premium microgreens are bringing anywhere between $40, $45 a pound. You break that down, do the math. It's very lucrative. The other great thing that I like about microgreens, my farm right now, outside of the weekend, take a typical day working in corporate America, Monday through Friday, I can commit 2 hours to my farm every day. Some days I'm getting a little bit more. Some days it's a little bit less. For example, I know tomorrow's going to be a long day. I'm going to be happy just to get everybody fed and watered and pick the plants I have to pick, and that's going to be it. It is going to be a late night venture, but you know, we will survive that too. I'm fortunate enough to know kind of what my schedule bears moving forward, so we know when we're going to have those days and we build our schedule around it. But I digress. With microgreens, it's really nice because this is a very, I wouldn't say negligible crop in that you don't have a lot to do with it, but it doesn't take a lot of time. Again, scalability is the key to microgreens. You can be as busy as you want or make this as menial as you want. Basically, as long as they have access to water, which again, you're mostly just misting and spraying a very light amount of water once or twice a day tops to make sure that they stay moist. You don't want to soak them, but they can't be dry. And then making sure that they have the amount or, you know, several days of light. Different crops require different amounts of light. You're mostly using your light to green your crop up and give it that nice color before it goes to market. But other than checking your water levels, once your seeds are soaked and put into the 10-20 trays, you're on autopilot till they're done. Get done. You've got your washing, packing, labeling, and then just getting them out to your end consumer. And that's really the bulk of it. So what I did in trialing this was basically set up 2 trays, misted them. It took me a total of 5 minutes a day. And most of that was just sitting there and oohing and ahhing, hey, this is working pretty well. I think that we may have a shot with this. And then once we got done, we cut them, harvested them, I washed them off, packaged them, and I took them around a couple people that worked for me. Hey, try this out. Let me know what you think about it. Hey, this is fantastic. All right, I think we got a shot. We do have some businesses close to where we are. We live in a kind of a rural area close to a metropolitan area, and there are some businesses there that do sell microgreens. So we're not coming into an untapped market. We realize that. So when you're looking at, where you're going to sell, who you're selling to, obviously you have some options. We are looking at individual consumer sales, not necessarily door to door. We're not in a population density close enough and compact enough to do that, but we can do specific site sale points. Set up a number of customers in a specific area. We'll be delivering at this place on this day where they can come in and pick up their microgreens that they've already ordered. The other good thing about that is take the orders in advance, and I know how much production I've got to do in a far enough ahead time frame that I can scale it and minimize my waste. So that's a fantastic thing to look for there's not many things you can do in farming where you can tell your demand and then grow specifically to your demand on the upfront. The other thing that we'll be looking at doing, we haven't done yet, is going directly to some of the restaurants and talking to the chefs and trying to see, engage their interest in doing this. And then also we participate in a roadside market, which taps a very high-end area of our geographical footprint, a very well-to-do area. And so we'll be tapping into that market and bringing in more customers who otherwise probably wouldn't venture into what we sell there, which is most of your, you know, run-of-the-mill produce, eggs, milk. We sell pork products, poultry. Let's see what else. They do a little bit of merchandising with clothing, hats, and whatnot, but typically your run-of-the-mill roadside market stuff. We'll be adding this in there and a couple other things we kind of got in the pipe that we'll bring into another episode and look at, but trying to tap into that market there. The other thing that we're looking at is kind of larger facilities, healthcare facilities, schools, things like that. Those are the other things that we're looking to capture. And then we're also going to kind of tiptoe and wade in the water with that. As far as scaling up what we're going to do, the last thing you want to do is roll up to, you know, some large healthcare facility and talk to their food service workers and say, hey, I got this great product and we want you to try it out. And they say, yeah, go ahead and, you know, deliver me 50 pounds a week. And then, and that could be a totally unrealistic number. I'm just throwing that out there. And then, you know, you're set up to produce 3 pounds a week. Now you've got a big problem. So, you know, I always want to have more demand than I have, you know, product. That's always a great problem to have. The other thing, though, is you got to be realistic. You know, you don't want to go out and try and sell to 100 people if you only have the setup to meet the demands for 10 of them. You got to gauge and scale this as you go. The other side of that, though, is you have to get out and market these things. You have to get out and sell your product. If you don't have a customer, you got a whole lot of wasted inventory and space. You know, I come from a healthcare background, but I think in a production model because I was actually trained by somebody in manufacturing with lean production. So waste is a terrible, dirty word. And if you don't have somebody to buy your product, you have a lot of wasted inventory. And that is the worst possible thing you can have because it's taking up your space, it's taking up your money. Most importantly, it's taking up your time. And if you're not doing this as a full, well, if you are doing this full time, it's probably even worse. When you're doing this as a side hustle, you've got to be very cognizant of your time. You have everybody that I know, and I'm sure everybody's listening to this, has incredible time constraints on them. You know, I work a full-time job. I've got a family. I have other business and hobby interests outside of my regular 9-to-5 and my farm. And there's only so much time that can be allocated to these things. So when I look at bringing something into my business model for my farm, one of the very first things I think of is, do the time constraints of what I'm going to do fit into my life model? Can I still build in time to be a parent, to be a husband, and do all those things, to be an effective manager where I work, to keep up my education and continuing education, what I'm doing, and make sure that I can still make a viable product for the farm and have the time to get out, promote it, sell it, maintain it, grow it. And then, you know, as we continue to scale our farm, what we're hoping to do with the microgreens and what we've done with some of the other things we've been successful at, where we're currently at with our aeroponic produce, is the more we scale into that, you know, the more something's got to come off of something else, and to make sure we maintain that work-life personal balance. So kind of got off on a little tangent there, but things to keep in mind. So lastly, and looking at the microgreens, you know, making sure that you've got those places to sell, keep great records, look at what works for you. You know, like I said, we're focusing on 4 main seed varieties right now. We keep very meticulous records. We can tell you, I can tell you how fast I produced it. I can tell you what growing medium, where it's located, what type of sunlight I have those days, you know. Am I really dependent on artificial lighting? Have I got some natural lighting to help offset my electrical cost? What was the temperature in the area? I keep, you know, minimum, maximum temperatures. I keep humidity values. Also looking at, you know, was I able to sell the, you know, pre-sell the product? How much product ended up getting wasted? What are my costs in this? Keep your records. Look at what works. Look at what doesn't work. Microgreens, just because they're a relatively inexpensive crop to get into, is not for everybody. It's definitely a great starter, but, you know, not every market either A, has enough people to make it a viable business, and number two, it may be completely saturated, and now you've got to look for creative ways to edge your way into the market. So, you know, without going into a lot of value-added stuff, which is a whole nother topic for another podcast, how you edge into a saturated market with any product that you have, but, you know, looking at the viability of what you're doing so that you're not wasting your time. So as we move forward, check out our Facebook page, the Gentleman Farmer Podcast. We'll be putting up some pictures and some videos on how we're doing. I've never been much of a video explanation guy, but we're going to give it a shot here. So we'll see how it goes. But we'll be putting some stuff up to document our journey through this. Please leave your comments, questions. I'll be happy to give some feedback, let you know what my successes and failures are, and I hope that you can do the same. So in conclusion, thank you guys for listening. Keep growing. Keep being innovative. Keep thinking. There is an endless realm of possibilities out there for all of us as farmers. The local food movement is real, and the local ag movement is real. This is not just simply a food-based system that we're gaining traction on. So, like I said, be innovative. Think outside the box. Don't be afraid to experiment. We're doing it. You can do it with us, and we'll all celebrate successes and failures together and be all the smarter and better off for it. So, thank you all. I hope you have a great evening. Talk with you.